Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled, We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is part 2 of 2.
He's going to win. But in the meantime, there's a lot of battles going on. And even the angels have to follow His directions, His commandments, and His directives, or they'll fall. How many of you have been taught that there a third of the angels fell with Lucifer? You heard that? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach that. Read it from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a third fall with Satan in the future in Revelation 12. You know where people got that was they read commentaries by people who spiritualized the Bible. And in the commentaries by a lot of the people who wrote commentaries years ago, they would spiritualize Revelation. And so they would make Revelation past. Go online. We went detail line upon line through Revelation 12. It's not past. It's still about to come. That's the chapter where Israel is attacked by the devil. They go into the wilderness that we believe is Petra. And as they're going into hiding, Satan tries to swallow them. And there's a flood spoken of, but God opens up the earth and the waters disperse and Israel is safely sheltered in the city of rock. All that's yet to come. In Revelation 12, that's not past. And in Revelation 12, it says the dragon, it pictures him with his tail bringing a third of the angels with him, and it hasn't happened yet. You know what has happened? Their angels can fall at any time, folks. I believe the angels fell with Lucifer before creation on earth began. And that's what Isaiah 14 is telling you. Amen. And then you go over to Ezekiel 28 and it tells you what happened after a bunch of angels fell with Lucifer in Isaiah 14. Then in Ezekiel 28, he's in the garden. Already fallen. Before Adam and Eve fell, Satan had already fallen. Amen. See, that's stuff that they won't teach. They won't teach because people like everything so black and white, cut and dry. They don't like it when it gets messy. There's some things in the Bible that aren't cut and dry. It gets a little messy. But it is what it is. Amen?
Amen.
Say that with me. It is what it is. Huh? Oh. And it says, But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. This is before Revelation 12. He's battling fallen angels that happen either before creation. There's also the sons of God is what angels are called in the Old Testament. How many of you know that? Go to Job. It tells you the angels are called sons of God. And the sons of God left their first estate and went into the daughters of men and produced what we call giants.
Yep. Amen.
All back there in Genesis 6.
Amen.
If you want to know why, people say, it's so horrible that God would wipe out the entire earth. He's such a meanie. The flood happened because there were a bunch of wild beast-like humanoids on the planet. The Bible says that the seed, that man himself had been corrupted. The DNA. And he found one family that was still pure of that. And there may have been others, but none of those would get on the boat, so they died.
Yeah.
And it was an act of mercy. God wiped everything out with that one family and started all over without all those beasts. And that's why you see all these references like Beauty and the Beast, the big movie out, you know. You see that. There's this almost a love affair with non-human beast-like creatures today.
Yeah.
The whole zombie thing and all that. There's something to that, and it's a foul spirit to it.
Amen.
So that's what's going on here. So after delivering his message, the angel continues in verse 20 and says, Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to do what?
Fight.
And folks, this is real. This isn't just, they're not going to argue with each other. They're not doing rock, paper, scissors. There is a serious battle of some sort going on. There's fighting going on. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. That prince of Persia is a fallen angel. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So one of the reasons we think of these ranks that are in the angelic government is you have some who seem to be kind of the generals, and then you have some who have certain regions. Greece, Persia. I don't believe there's like a prince of America. I believe there's a prince of Ohio, a prince of Michigan.
Yeah.
And he's doing a real good job, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. No, Ohio is a mess. I just want to keep it real here. Prince of California, now he deserves a reward. Prince of New Mexico, prince of where? And I believe that. I do. You don't have to, but I think the Bible teaches that. Verse 21 says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth." This is what the angel came to deliver. This is important. I hope you get this. The angel says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in what?" That's why you know when the so-called Mary apparitions show up, that's a devil. That ain't Mary. I believe Mary's up there saying, "I'm going to get you. You down there misrepresenting me like that, your day's coming. My son is going to wipe you out." "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth." Look at this. You're going to like this. I'd almost get a t-shirt that says this. Real angels of God are Bible thumpers.
Amen.
That's what he did. He came with the Scripture of truth. You get a real angel visiting somebody, they're not going to contradict the Word of God. Their message is going to be biblical.
Amen.
And that's why all this charismatic nonsense, you know, is nonsense. Contradicts the Word, has nothing to do with the Word. Supposedly there's angels that appear because you didn't pay your credit card on time, and now they're about ready to repossess your trampoline. "I'm under demonic attack. They're about to take my trampoline. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord." You know, that's the way. This is just games. I call it the charismatic playpen because it's not real. It's not. They're just in a total fake battle. It's not a real battle. And if real angels were to show up, and I just don't believe they will, folks. I just don't believe that angels are going to show up and start talking to you. And if you ever say they do, or you think they did, or whatever, I'm just going to tell you this. You better be very careful. I think you're playing with fire. Angel touched by an angel. She shows up at my door. "Hello, I am an angel. I rebuke you." Boom! Shut that door. Too bad people don't have it. All the false religions. Now, I can't say all. I got to be careful not. But I read about these false religions. Think about how many of them started because they claimed an angel came to them.
Yeah.
Do you realize Muhammad? Some like 700-foot Gabriel with thousands of wings. And it's just some. Sound like he was tripping on acid when he saw that thing. Then Joseph Smith claimed that an angel, Moroni, should have just called him Moron, shows up and gives him the Book of Mormon. On and on you go. These angelic. Do you know the Watchtower Society of Jehovah's Witnesses claim that they get their stuff from angels? They do. I can show you the quote, a photocopy from their magazines claiming that. On and on it goes. You research it. And of course, the whole charismatic nonsense, most of that stuff is based on people like William Branham and Oral Roberts and these people who claimed angels came to them and told them this stuff. So we close there. Daniel 10:21 says, "And there is none that withholdeth with..." Let me say it. "And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince." Just remember this. Someone says, Michael, the archangel came and gave me a jump because my car wouldn't start. Listen, Michael is the prince of Israel. And you ain't it. So you have the ranks listed, principality, powers, rulers of the darkness. I got to get moving. It's Mother's Day. I don't want to keep us too long. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I've got to show you this. It's like a 4-minute clip. I just want to show you this. This is an example of what I'm talking about. If you do not discriminate when you're watching TV and movies and listening to music and everything, you're going to be destroyed. Spiritually speaking, and sometimes physically. But I want to show you, this is what they're doing to you, even in entertainment. This is what's behind. They are brainwashing you.
Yeah.
They're being funny. They try to be funny, but in a way that brainwashes you.
Yeah.
Just watch this. It's an example of what I mean from Mark.
Stephen Colbert, host of The Late Show over on CBS, the culture broadcasting station, had the first joke during his opening monologue backfire so bad that he ended up blaming the audience,
scolding
them, and lecturing them about what they did wrong. This clip is from Tuesday, which is right after President Trump fired FBI Director James Comey, which, based off of their reactions, is something that they're not going to get over for another 30 years.
Huge story that broke just minutes ago, like less than 10 minutes ago. FBI Director James Comey has just been fired by Donald Trump.
You can obviously hear the audience cheering in delight. And most of them are liberals because, well, I mean, no conservatives could possibly stomach watching Colbert, let alone going and seeing him in person. And as sane people know, like those of you who are subscribed to my channel, we understand that both Republicans and Democrats have a bunch of reasons why they wanted James Comey to be gone. But the liberals forgot about their talking points from 6 months ago when they were all calling for James Comey to be fired, and now they're pretending to be outraged since President Trump did it. And so this wasn't the response that Stephen Colbert had expected from his audience, and it threw him off of his game a little bit, and he had to ad-lib before finally getting back on track and then later scolding his audience.
It's to teach them. Watch this.
Oh, wow. Huge, huge Donald Trump fans here tonight.
He doesn't understand why they're...
They're ad-libbing because the audience wasn't supposed to cheer. That actually was the setup to the joke. Here was the punchline.
That shows no gratitude at all.
Man.
I mean, did Trump forget about the Hillary emails that Comey talked about?
He continued with his monologue, which has the sole purpose every night of trying to destroy President Trump. And the next segment, he brought his old friend John Stewart out, and then he had to explain to the audience why what they did was wrong.
I got a question for the audience. When I said that Comey had been fired by Trump, y'all cheered. Why? Is it because what he did to Hillary?
Of course.
No, he's investigating Trump's campaign's ties to Russia.
Since these morons believe that Comey conspired with Donald Trump to hand him the election, then why in the world would they trust Comey to then investigate that very election? That's a rhetorical question, liberals, so don't try to answer it, because we know that nothing you say ever makes any sense anyway. By the way,
Amen.
You know that Jimmy Fallon over at NBC, host of The Tonight Show,
now listen to this.
Is being pressured by network executives to go after President Trump even harder because he's too soft on the president. This from the New York Post, page 6. Fallon forced to change Tonight Show amid Colbert ratings wins. The Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon watched his show's rating take a hit yet again on Tuesday as competitor The Late Show with Stephen Colbert won his 5th straight week in overall viewers. And sources say Fallon's being forced to change his strategy to win back eyeballs. Fallon's feeling the pressure. I mean, Stephen Colbert is now beating him in a big way, and he has to change his format to keep up because he's losing viewers, said a source. Adding that Fallon's getting more political. They had to figure out a way to get Trump into his routine because he's too weak on Trump and his viewers are going elsewhere. He's been uncomfortable talking about politics, and that's not what people want. A different source added that Fallon is being pushed to be more political. Let's not forget that NBC fired Jay Leno, former host of The Tonight Show, despite the fact that he was still number one in the ratings and had been for over 20 years.
Why would a major network fire their number one host when he's been number one for two decades? Because Jay Leno took the gloves off and was pounding the crap out of Barack Obama every single night. You may recall that for months and months, if not years, none of the late night talk show hosts would really take Obama to task. And as Leno kept getting closer and closer to his final show, his jokes just kept getting better and better. But these major networks aren't just in the entertainment business. They're in the propaganda business.
That's
Here's
right.
an interview that Chevy Chase gave to CNN about 10 years ago, former Saturday Night Live star, big movie star, where he admitted that he was using his position on SNL not just for comedy, but for political propaganda, because he wanted Jimmy Carter to beat Gerald Ford in the 1976 presidential election.
After a while, you just start writing the jokes and start doing it. So it's not that I could imitate him so much as I could do a lot of physical comedy, and I just made it, I just went after him. And obviously my leanings were Democratic, and I wanted Carter in, and I wanted him out, and I figured, look, we're reaching millions of people every weekend. Why not do it?
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that in the back of your mind you were thinking, hey, I want Carter.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to make him look bad.
Oh, yeah. What do you think they're doing now? I mean, you think they're just doing this because Sarah's funny? No, I think...
What I want you to get out of that is, if you want to watch that nonsense, go right ahead, but you are willingly subjecting yourself to brainwashing. They have an agenda. I can't make it any more clear. Mark Dice did the work, but it's out there for anybody to watch and see. They have an agenda, and they're educators. You know, someone, they refer to Oprah as an evangelist. She agrees. She knows she is. These people are evangelists, and they have a message and an agenda, and they are either possessed by or under the influence of these forces. And that's the spiritual wickedness in high places. And folks, let me tell you something. Why are they after Donald Trump? Donald Trump is not some wonderful Christian that's, you know. Donald Trump, though, has put a man on the Supreme Court that is opposed to their agenda of abortion and gay marriage and destroying the Constitution. Donald Trump has signed an executive order saying that they can't come after me or any other preacher for preaching the truth about liberalism. And that's why they want to take Donald Trump down. Now, if tomorrow Donald Trump comes out against something that is biblical, I'd be up here rebuking him just like I'm talking right now about the liberals. And that may happen. But for right now, there's where the battle lines are drawn. And Satan is behind what's going on with the liberals in this country right now. And the king of this army of evil is? He's the king of that army. Not an equal to Jesus, but he is the authority. He is the power. Matthew 12:26, Jesus said this, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. He was explaining how that when Jesus was casting out devils, they accused him of doing it with the power of the devil. And Jesus said, that makes no sense. Why would the devil cast himself out? But he asked this question, how shall then his kingdom stand? Jesus just told you Satan has a kingdom.
Yep.
If you don't think of Satan in terms of kingdom, you're not thinking biblically.
Yep.
Stop thinking of Satan as being this all-powerful being everywhere, but think of him as king of a kingdom.
Yep.
Whose tentacles is everywhere, including in churches,
yeah,
in Bible colleges, in seminaries, in Christian bookstores, everywhere. Satan began as King Lucifer.
Yep.
Look what it says over in Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And Lewis says in verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my what?
Throne.
He was a king with a throne. But it wasn't good enough. He wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God, the angels. Satan's kingdom stands, but he reigns in exile right now. Luke 4:5 says, and the devil taking him up into an high mountain, just talking about Jesus. The devil showed unto him, Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's the king showing Jesus his kingdom. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Satan's a liar, but you know, Jesus never said you're lying. Jesus never said you can't do that. Why? Because he is the prince and the power of the air. He is the God of this world. He does have this power. He said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Satan can empower you. Thankfully, Jesus refused. Amen?
Amen.
But you better too. Because an awful lot of people are going into business with the devil today. He said, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You don't think Satan will do that for you? He will for a time. There are deathbed confessions. I'm reading the Last Words of Saints and Sinners by Herbert Lockyer, where he tells of these people who have served Satan their entire lives, and then they come down to the end and they realize they were duped and they were used.
Yeah.
He gave them power. He gave them what they wanted, but in the end, Satan's claim of all only lasts for a short time. It says in Revelation 20:10, read that with me. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. You choose to follow Satan, that's your future too. You'll go where your leader goes. If you do not take the enemy seriously, you will seriously what? Let's close with this verse in 2 Peter 3:7. Says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. You know them now. If you've listened, you know this now. Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, you better be moving. You better be following Jesus. You better be serving the Lord. You better be loving Him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others, loving your neighbors as yourself. You better be active in your pursuit of God and serving God. Otherwise, you're going to fall. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this. We thank You for everyone who's listened closely and taken note either mentally or on paper or in their margin of their Bible or wherever, Lord, that they note the teaching of Your Word. Father, we just ask now that it settle in our hearts and minds, and we go into this battle knowing we're in a battle and it's not with our flesh. We need to just simply submit to You, die to self, and yield ourselves unto You, and then fight. And we fight not with flesh and blood. We don't fight with the weapons of flesh and blood, but we fight with the weapons that You give us, and we will study in the coming weeks in the whole armor of God. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, and for the purpose of glorifying only one, and that is the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with a song, 308 in the hymn book.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, I'm fixed on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Oh, glory bright.